Hello, my name is Matt Parker, and today I'll be your guide to Microsoft R Server. This video is the first in a four-part series. We'll start with an overview of what Microsoft R Server is and how it fits into the big data analysis workflow. In the next session, we'll cover data ingestion, how to get data into MRS from files and databases. In the third session, we'll cover data manipulation, adding and transforming variables, creating subsets and joins, and so on. Finally, we'll learn how to build models and put them to work making predictions. But before we can understand what Microsoft R Server is, we need a basic grasp of the R language itself. Briefly put, R is an open source programming language specifically intended for statistical computing and data analysis. It's got some key strengths that separate it from other software you might use for data analysis. First of all, like many open source projects, R is free to use. You can download R right now from cran.rproject.org. Now, free is nice on its own, of course, but it also makes R very accessible for students, small businesses, and one-off projects, and is a major part of the reason why R's community has grown as large as it has. R is also highly extensible, thanks to its system for creating packages of new functions. New statistical methods are often published with an R package that implements those methods, and R users from a wide variety of fields, whether that's finance, ecology, genetics, often share useful tools they've created as packages. It also means that when you're programming in R, you'll have options for all of the most common tasks, like importing data and creating visualizations, so you can really tailor R to your preferred workflow. Now, everything I've said so far is also true of a number of other programming languages, some of which also have data analysis extensions to them. But unlike typical programming languages, R was built for data analysis from the ground up. It has excellent data structures built in. It includes a broad range of data ingestion functions, visualizations, and statistical methods. And it makes things like matrix operations, which are essential for many statistical algorithms, makes those things straightforward to code. Finally, in part because R is open source and free, analyses written with R are also very transparent and easy to reproduce. A collaborator can easily install R and review your analysis, and you can also dig deep into the source code to see if some function really works the way you expect it to. Whether it's scientists validating findings in peer review, or just a curious colleague seeing how your product recommender works, R makes it as easy as possible to share and reproduce analysis. And of course, R users have written many packages that enhance that reproducibility. For example, the Knitter package lets users create dynamic, reproducible reports in Microsoft Word, PDF, and HTML. And the Checkpoint and Packwrap packages help ensure that an analysis is always run with the same versions of the packages that it uses. So you can see that R has many advantages for data analysis work, but of course it's got its weaknesses too. First, R is single-threaded by default, which in an age when even cell phones have multi-core processors is a little archaic. Many common operations in R could be sped up if it used all available cores by default. A second limitation is that whatever data you read into R has to fit into your computer's physical memory. Thankfully, 64-bit computers with big memory capacity are increasingly common, and RAM is cheaper than ever. But the advent of big data on the web and the huge datasets used in fields like genomics means that there are still plenty of datasets that are too big for R to use effectively. That's where Microsoft R Server comes in. MRS tackles both of these problems with open source R. First, MRS uses the Intel MKL library to run matrix operations, linear algebra, and other math operations on all of the cores available on your machine. For the kinds of statistics and machine learning algorithms that depend on intense matrix operations and the like, this can lead to dramatic speedups. MRS also does parallel processing by default. Functions from the MRS ScaleR package will use whatever processing power you can throw at them, whether that's the multi-core PC on your desktop or a cluster with hundreds of nodes. The ScaleR package includes many of the most common statistical and machine learning algorithms, linear and logistic regression, other generalized linear models, decision trees, forests, naive Bayes, as well as a full complement of parallelized data manipulation functions. Finally, MRS is designed to store data on disk instead of in memory. So having 1 or 2 terabytes to work with instead of 8 or 16 gigabytes dramatically expands the size of datasets that you can analyze with Microsoft R Server. And that's just on a typical desktop PC. MRS also works well with distributed file systems like HDFS, which can store truly gigantic datasets. So, let's just take a moment to imagine MRS running in a couple of common contexts. On a typical workstation, you'd probably have a processor with multiple cores, 8 to 16 gigabytes of RAM, and a hard drive capacity between 500 gigabytes and 1 terabyte. In this case, your hard drive would be the limiting factor on the size of dataset that you can work with. All of your available cores would be put to work on any math operations and parallel processes you're running. Now, how much RAM you have is still relevant in this case, because MRS still uses RAM to work on each chunk of the data. But more RAM can only speed up your processing by letting MRS work with bigger chunks at one time, but it doesn't increase the overall size of the dataset that you can work with. We'll talk more about how MRS works with data in chunks later on. Now, if you have a cluster at your disposal, which is increasingly common with the availability of cloud services like Microsoft Azure, you can dramatically scale up the computational resources available to you. MRS can take advantage of all of the available cores and memory on your nodes for its parallel processing, as well as whatever disk storage is available, including distributed storage systems like HDFS. There are a few different ways to set up MRS to run on a cluster, but that's a bit beyond the scope of this course. Now, being able to run MRS in all these different contexts wouldn't be very helpful if it required you to rewrite your code to suit each context. Now, thankfully, switching those contexts is as simple as changing a single function call. The RxSetComputeContext function that you see here lets you tell MRS where to execute the code you've written. There are different contexts for local workstations, Hadoop clusters, and so on, but in most cases, this is the only code you'll need to change. Now, I cheated a little bit here by hiding the configuration details of the Hadoop cluster I'm using in the second RxSetComputeContext call, but those details are all readily available things like the host name and your user credentials. So, how can MRS do all these things that open source R struggles with? It really boils down to our implementation of what we call parallel external memory algorithms, or PEMAs. Conceptually, PEMAs are pretty simple to understand. A chunk of the data is pulled out of your main dataset, which is probably stored on disk. Next, an intermediate result is calculated based on that particular chunk of data. Now, what that intermediate result is depends entirely on what algorithm you're running. An intermediate result for something as simple as a sum would just be another sum. An intermediate result for a weighted mean is just the mean and the weight for that particular chunk. But the intermediate result for something like a decision tree could be a much more complex kind of object. But whatever that intermediate result is, once it's been calculated for every chunk in your dataset, the results are combined into a single final result, whether that's a sum, mean, a decision tree, a regression model, and so on. That final object is then returned to you for use in your local R workspace. So the simple conceptual framework of the PEMA is what enables MRS to parallelize so many operations and work so well in distributed computing contexts. The actual implementation of these algorithms is much harder, but MRS users don't have to worry about that. Since we're talking about PEMAs, here's a quick look at the most commonly used algorithms that are available as PEMAs in MRS. I'm showing just statistical algorithms here, but most of MRS's data manipulation functions are written as PEMAs as well. It's important to note that models from open source R packages, like LME4 for example, won't be made automatically parallel just by running them with MRS. Every algorithm requires special treatment to be made into a PEMA, and it's not something that can be done without custom coding. But we are adding new PEMAs all the time, so if you don't see your favorite here, let us know. Okay, now that we have some idea of how MRS works, when would we want to use it? There are a few key scenarios. First, since open source R can't work with datasets that are bigger than memory, MRS is a natural choice for working with genuinely big data. Even if it's just on your local workstation, MRS will work through that dataset one chunk at a time. Now, sometimes open source R can fit a dataset into memory, but its single-threaded nature means that the model takes too long to build. MRS makes a good choice here, too. It's parallel by default and will take advantage of whatever computational resources you have to offer. Its improved math library adds another boost of speed for the matrix-heavy operations that underlie many statistical models as well. And finally, MRS is a great choice when you're working with a cluster and perhaps a distributed file system. Its parallel memory algorithms, PIMAs, are a natural fit for environments when data and resources are spread across many machines, because they don't depend on having access to the entire dataset all at once. MRS has one more trick that I haven't mentioned yet, the external data frame file, or XDF. The XDF is MRS's native file format, and it's got several optimizations that make it an excellent way to store data for analysis with MRS. First, XDF files are chunk-oriented. As I mentioned, PIMAs work on data one chunk at a time, so it's only natural that their data source mirror that approach. Chunk orientation makes it quick to split an XDF into chunks when data needs to be distributed across nodes. It also makes it fast to append new data to an existing XDF file, because a new chunk can simply be written to the end of a file. That's a big advantage for data sets that accumulate over time, like, say, a weekly sales data dump, because you don't have to rewrite the entire XDF file each time you add new data. Furthermore, each chunk of the XDF file is itself column-oriented. In traditional data stores, the focus is often on retrieving an entire record or row quickly. For example, if we wanted to get all the information about a particular customer account, it's helpful if all of that information is stored in the same place on disk. But in statistics and machine learning, we're usually more interested in columns of data. We often want just a few key details about, say, all of our customer accounts. Column-oriented storage makes querying those key details faster by making sure they're all stored together on disk. Finally, XDF files all include some pre-computed metadata about their contents. That includes things like the number of observations, the type of each variable, the low and high values for each of the numeric variables, and the unique values of each categorical variable. Having these details pre-computed can be a big help, both for getting a quick overview of the data without needing to read the whole file, and for computations that depend on these values as inputs, for example, scaling a variable to its minimum and maximum values. Those are the basics of the XDF file, but we'll talk about them much more in our next video, which is all about importing data from different sources and storing it in an XDF file or otherwise. We'll also get our first look at MRS in action. Be sure to look for the exercises that accompany the next video so you can try your hand at MRS too. Thanks, and I'll see you next time.